8:11, just about 8:12. It's Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Aerodith, Tyler Gum, thanks for being with us here on this Monday morning, rainy one. Well, Neil Meyer, a former co-worker of ours, Galesburg High School graduate, now a campus minister on the Michigan State University campus at it's called UKirk at Michigan State, and talk about some things going there. Neil, good morning. How are you today?
Hello, Tom. Thanks for remembering us.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's great to have you along. And yeah, first thing when I heard about this going on, you were obviously the first person I thought about being up there, and not only being a Galesburg High grad, but an alum of Michigan State as well. You've gone back to do ministry there. First off, Neil, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing. Explain what UKirk is on the campus there.
So UKirk at Michigan State is part of our national network of Presbyterian Church campus ministries across the country. I believe the McKinley Church, McKinley Foundation at U of I is also part of our network. And so that's our base. We don't only reach Presbyterian students or minister to them during the year, but we'll meet for weekly gatherings, dinners, offer support. In all kinds of times. Sometimes it's might be leading Bible studies or having worship services or doing mission projects and all sorts of things. But any way that we can support and extend radical hospitality and be present for these students while they're here, we're kind of a home away from home for those. And even things like this morning, have a student that had some previously scheduled surgery, so was at the hospital with them prior to them going for some surgery this morning. So those kinds of things that campus ministries do each and every day. And of course, these last 2 weeks have been different than ever before here on our campus.
Absolutely. So you're also doing work at another Presbyterian church in East Lansing. Is that the case as well?
Correct. My position's hybrid, so half of my job is the campus ministry, which is supported by several Presbyterian churches in our area, and then I'm also director of Christian education at Eastminster Presbyterian Church in East Lansing. So those two pieces of the job are kind of half each to make it the full-time ministry that I do.
Well, this shooting that happened on campus, it just, I guess the first thought is, you never think it's going to happen where you're at or to anybody you know or people that know people or whatever the case may be, but here you were in that situation. Talk about when that day came, and I assume you got emergency information, lockdown information. I guess what's the first thing going through your mind when this situation came to be a couple of weeks ago?
So we have our weekly UKirk gatherings on Monday night, so I'd had a dinner and some students with me, and we'd gone longer. We usually meet about 6 o'clock, and we'd had a great discussion that night, and so we didn't wrap up until about 8:30, and I don't think I was to the end of the church driveway when I got the alert from campus and text, and I had students turning right, and our church is just a mile up from the Union, which is one of the locations where the shooting occurred. And so I immediately called students that I knew were heading that way and, told them to avoid the area. We weren't quite sure what was happening yet at that time, other than it was, shots fired. And that, unfortunately, we've gotten similar alerts before, but not to this extent. And that's part of, I think, campus life on campuses all across the country or in our communities. And it's very unfortunate that this is the way we've chosen to live our lives here in America these days. And so I was making sure that the students that I knew were avoiding the area, they were seeing a heavy police presence. I turned the opposite direction, and I saw police screaming down past me, heading straight to campus. And we knew that this was perhaps different than other alerts that we had received previously. And so then that night, it's immediately sending text messages to every student that we've had any kind of contact with, whether they've been an active part of our ministry or not, so that we knew where, either on or off campus, they were at the time. And just checking in to make sure that they were safe, if they were, and doing those things. And it was a really long night. The lockdown actually went for 4 hours that night, and the helicopters hovered over everyone's homes, and the sirens didn't stop. And it was the worst nightmare. And I think you mentioned, you know, never think it could happen here. And actually, I think it's a little bit the opposite. None of us around here have really said why us or can't believe this happened here. I think it's the worst nightmare of anybody anywhere in our society these days that this can and does happen everywhere, and it's frightening, and it's the nightmare, and we've lived through that now, and unfortunately want to remember Arielle Anderson and Alexandria Verner and Brian Frazier, who are the three students we lost, and the four still hospitalized, including John and Guadalupe and Troy, who's one who's been discharged. So that was the best news that we've had in all of this, was one of the hospitalized students was discharged over the weekend, and we need those bits of good news in the midst of it all.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you mentioned the fact I had said, you know, you don't think it can happen here. I guess not that you can go around living your life in fear, but you don't expect that it can happen wherever you are.
Exactly, and we've seen this in too many places, from movie theaters to campuses to schools to churches to grocery stores. Right, the list is endless. Parades, as I know people in Illinois know all too well from this past summer in Highland Park, and the list just goes on and on. And the question is, when will we do something to stop it?
Neil Meyer joining us here this morning, former coworker of ours here at WGIL, did the girls' basketball games for a couple of years here, Galesburg High grad, and now the campus minister at UKirk at Michigan State University, and talking about this horrible shooting that happened there. So what kind of, Neil, was the reaction, I guess not even once the lockdown was over, but maybe like next day, next morning? I mean, I'm sure you're getting tons of calls and texts from people outside the area asking if you're okay, but also probably tons and tons of calls and texts to and from students as well.
Yeah, so when we tried to get some sleep that night, I think I heard back from one of my students at 2 a.m. That morning. This started in the 8 o'clock, the first half of the 8 o'clock hour that night, and so got just very little sleep. And when we got to church first thing in the morning, we kind of made a plan for a day. We had announced that we were opening the church so that it could be a space, just to hold space for students, and we had students come in throughout that day, several that spent many, many hours here just as space to begin to process and grieve and be somewhere with other people. We also decided to put together a prayer vigil that night. So the shooting occurred on Monday night, and on Tuesday night we had a prayer vigil in our sanctuary. And what we weren't quite expecting is there was the inundation of national media that came to East Lansing, and so many students left campus, and campus was an eerie ghost town for a campus of 40,000 undergrad, not counting graduate students and faculty and staff. Campus was an eerie ghost town on Tuesday morning, and I think the national media maybe was caught off guard by how many people left and how empty it was, and so somehow they found out that our prayer vigil was happening at our church, and so we had all kinds of national media here to cover the story. So we're doing both the things, and again, with two hats I've worn in my different careers, know both of them well, and each thing has a role to play, and so we were making sure that it was safe space for students and keeping the media in one area, and letting students know that they were under zero obligation. It was up to them whether they wanted to talk to the media or not, but we kept some space where they could be, away from that if they didn't want to deal with that. And so that was a lot of what we did on that Tuesday. And then kind of each day goes as we move forward in the crisis and, meet in the morning and say, okay, what's on today's agenda? What do we absolutely need to accomplish today, and what's next? And so a lot of checking in with students, a lot of they asked us as religious professionals to meet with staff on campus. And so even though we probably had several thousand that did choose to stay throughout, classes were canceled for the rest of last week, and so many went home, or if they were out-of-state students or others, they might have gone with roommates or friends somewhere in, a closer radius around. And they had us religious professionals team up with faculty and staff members to have listening spaces in different locations all over campus. So we were present to be a voice in a first listening session. All kinds of professional counseling was available in the community. And so the counseling center happens to be in between the two buildings, where the shootings occurred. And so they moved off campus into one of the community centers in East Lansing, and that's where they were set up to offer the immediate counseling services that were needed for students and faculty and staff. And so, it was an all hands on deck situation, just to be a presence and support each other. And I think what's different sometimes in what we do, so often is we might, like I said this morning, we might go to the hospital. We have one person at a time having surgery or going through a difficult circumstance, whatever that might be. And, a particular church or a particular group of people can rally around that one situation. But when mass trauma hits and it's 40,000 undergrad, like I said, plus faculty and staff, plus graduate community, plus alumni, plus all the surrounding communities, there's just nobody that's been untouched or affected by this. And as large as Michigan State is, the degrees of separation are very small. So I don't think anybody's probably 1 or 2 degrees of separation from somebody more directly connected to this or the spaces in which it occurred.
Neil Meyer joining us here this morning. Neil, a campus minister at UKirk at Michigan State University, of course, lived in Galesburg, a Galesburg High School graduate, and worked here with us doing some games. A long time since being the stat man, huh? you remember
it's
those days?
Barely. Yes, that does feel like
okay.
A few lifetimes
if you go,
ago. And,
we're going to what, like 1991, 92, I guess?
Exactly. I think I started in late 90. And so, we're talking well more than quarter of a century ago. So
yeah.
that is a long, long time ago for sure.
Yeah. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Neil, this was back, I was doing the boys' games and Claude Piggy, Tom Wilson retired from doing color. So, Brad Benowitz came on board, was doing color. And then, Neil was always there. You were actually working as a manager, weren't you, for the team initially? And then, you started doing statistics for us. And, we thought, well, you know what? You're the stat man. We'll get you on the air to do all the stats. And you kind of took it from there and went on to do your own play-by-play and everything as well. So, here for the, girls basketball team and in the midst of their great run with 9 years in a row heading to the state tournament. So, and that's what I'm doing now. Neil, I'm still doing the girls games since you've been gone back at that again. So
I did 1 year as manager and then made the shift to radio my sophomore year.
Okay.
And you and I share one just lovely thing in common that we both get to be the ones to say that we were Norm Meyer's broadcast partners.
That is true.
Always a special thing that we share.
Yep, absolutely. Your father was what a great man, and that had a lot of fun doing the games with your dad. I was, your dad was so different than anybody I've ever worked with. Just his knowledge, the history of basketball was just amazing. And of course, where he grew up had some pretty amazing basketball history in and of itself. So it was that was really fun. That is a cool thing. I loved you guys did such a great job. I still remember the broadcast firm of Meyer and Meyer. That was a really cool thing. And you getting to work with your dad, and then I got to work with him for a couple of years as well. Well, Neil, let's talk about, so when did they actually resume classes on campus?
So classes resumed, and I would call it a very gentle resumption of routines. And so that began a week ago today. So all classes were suspended for last week, and professors have essentially been told to throw away their syllabi, and they're trying to figure things out, of course, on how they go. Professors are well-educated people, and they're used to doing their job, and they do it well, but they're teachers, and I think they didn't realize maybe quite to the extent that they became ministers last week as students returned to class and things that they're not always equipped to do, and yet it's necessary in these times. And so I think everybody's trying to figure that out. So there's classes. Some students chose to come back to campus. Some still have not. Others returned this weekend, and they've offered hybrid options. So at least they knew how to do that because of COVID, and so that was not something new to figure out how to have hybrid and Zoom options for classes. And they're going to be offering at the end of the semester, and I really appreciate the graciousness of the university and the circumstance. So at the end of this semester, students will be given a week after final exams to decide whether they want their grade to count as GPA and count as the GPA, or if they get a 2 point or higher, they can take it as credit or no credit. And so they're going to have some flexible options that will depend. And so every student will have different decisions to make under the circumstance and what they do the rest of the semester. And next week, so when they finish classes this Friday, next week is already scheduled to be spring break. And I think that that's actually going to be a helpful time, not only for the students to have some more time, but also for the professors, and everybody's still kind of taking this day by day. And I think that's one of the hard things. And this is the part I don't think any of us could have ever realized before until we're living it so close and so involved with it every day is, you know, long after the national news media has left town, after a few days and a weekend and so forth, it's all the work that goes on. And this has happened in community after community, in places where events like this have happened. And, it's going to be a long haul. We also had in the Presbyterian Church, there's a group called Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. And in most Presbyterian churches, that's a national organization within our denomination that people often know that they do recovery work after floods or tornadoes or hurricanes, earthquakes like Syria and Turkey, things like that. And they do great work in that. What most people don't realize is they also have an arm, even in our denomination, they don't realize this, but they also have an arm who responds in times like this. So they were here at church meeting with our local pastors and with me last week, and they come into places where unnatural disasters occur and do important work, and they stay for the long haul. They're still doing work after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans and have never left. They were here with us last week, and now this week they're back in Uvalde, Texas, where unfortunately Robb Elementary had the horrific shooting. And so it's the things that, it's the kind of ministry that happens all the time. We didn't want to be on the front line, and, I didn't want to be talking to you this morning, but, I'm really glad to be remembered, and, that people are remembering us here in East Lansing, because it's going through and it's going to give us new perspective. If and when we hope it never happens again anywhere. And yet we know the likelihood is that it might and will. And so I think we're going to have a whole different perspective. And we've gained skills and resources over the last 2 weeks that we never wanted to have, but we have and now have some experience to share. And I think we'll be among the first to reach out when anybody else needs our support, because we've gotten support from all over the country.
Absolutely. Well, Neil, I think that the people of Michigan State in that area are lucky to have a man like you leading the UKIRK. And I kudos again, as you said, to the administration there at Michigan State, because that's a lot of students and a lot of faculty and staff there. We're talking Galesburg and then many more that they've been very caring and flexible in what they're doing there. So again, hey, it would be much better, Neil, to talk to you under better circumstances, like say the Illini beating the Spartans in the Big Ten tournament championship. How about that? Would that be better or no?
that might not be as good. And even that, I think even that, I think whatever happens the rest of the season, I think the highs are not going to be as high, and the sports lows will definitely not be as low because of what we've been through, and then the outpouring of support from all the Big Ten schools and the things that University of Michigan did last week before their basketball game. I didn't actually watch the game, but I saw their pregame tributes and the things that these things are just much more about our common humanity than they are about wins and losses on the court. And it's nice to see, because I think there's just too much of that in our world these days, back and forth and crossing the line. And times like this, we can see some of the best of who we can be emerge. And we hope that that can continue.
Absolutely. Well, Neil, thank you so much for taking some time with us, and thank you for what you're doing for the students and your congregation around East Lansing and all the work you're doing there.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate being remembered, and hello to all the good folks in Galesburg. Thank you.